talking about love is greater than unforgiveness. You mad at somebody? You're in the right place today. You upset with somebody? God brought you here this morning to get you free of that unforgiveness. Amen. There's something that's been dogging your tracks and someone that has really hurt you and it's just been really burdensome to you. Thank God God brought you here today by His divine grace, His divine plan, His divine purpose. Why? Because He wants you to be free of that once and for all. His blood can wash away every offense. His power can wash away every hurt. Amen. And there's some things that He shows us in the Word that we can do to walk free of that. And that's going to happen in us today. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You today for the Holy Spirit, the great teacher who is here. He will lead us and He will guide us into all truth. We believe we have ears that are hearing ears to hear what You're saying to us today in Your Word. And we believe our eyes are open to behold wonderful things from the Word of Almighty God. Today, our hearts are hungry to receive and to grow. We don't want to stay like we are. We don't want to stay living with hurts and offenses and all bitterness and all things like that. We know there is a better way. It's the love way. And so, Lord, show us what steps to take, things that we can do to walk free. The price has been paid. Jesus died upon the cross and rose again from the dead. We thank You so much. It is in that name above all names we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Before you sit down, shake someone's hand, tell them, pay attention today because God is going to talk to you. God's going to talk to you today. Good morning, good morning. This is Mr. Kids Church right now with Mr. Daniel. Give the kids a good hand clap as they go this morning. Amen. Now listen, we talked last Sunday. I really was going to add some more, but I just wasn't able to. But you want to hear that? That's on the website, all right? All these MP3s on the website. We talked last Sunday about love is greater than heartbreak and depression. So if you know somebody who deals with some of these things, and we saw Elijah the prophet himself went off to be by himself, went in a cave, prayed for God to kill him. He just said, God, just take me home now. And some things that he did, he listened for His voice. He looked for His provision. He was led by His purposes, and that's what led him out of depression. And I was going to add this today, and I'll just throw it in for real quick. I think we talked about a little bit in the life group this past week. Jesus, upon the hearing the death of John the Baptist, his first cousin, went off in a boat to be by himself. And went away, but the crowds followed him. But what did Jesus do? He did something different than what Elijah did. He went and prayed for people. He healed their sick. He fed 5,000. He rescued his disciples from the storm on the Sea of Galilee. That's all in Matthew chapter 14. The entire chapter is one day in the life of Jesus. What he did was he listened for God's voice. He went on the mountain to pray. He looked for provision, the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he multiplied for everybody. Amen. And led by the purposes, he healed their sick, he fed the 5,000, he rescued his disciples. So you want to catch that. So if you know someone like that, or if you fight that, make sure you hear that. It's on the website, Love is Greater Than Heartbreak and Depression. Today, let's talk about love is greater than unforgiveness. We're going to start again in the book of John, chapter 13. The video we just showed a second ago talked about this, the new commandment. John 13, verse 34 from the New Living. If you've got a reader or a Bible, you can join me. If not, we'll have all the verses up on the screen. You can just pay attention, follow along, take some shots of the screen and so forth. What's up there? John 13, 34, Jesus says this in John 13, 34. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Hey, it's a commandment. No exceptions. It's a commandment. Not, you know, here's a good idea. You might consider loving one another. It's not that. Hey, here's a new way of living, a new philosophical point of view. It's not that. He says, hey, guys, do this. If you do this, you're going to win. If you do this, you're going to live in victory. If you do this, you're going to reflect me. He says this, I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. More than any miracle, more than any powerful power of God in action or demonstration, the love of God between us believers, loving one another, proves to the world that we belong to Him. Can you say amen to that? And anybody can do this if we choose to. It is not an issue of can I, it's an issue of will I. Because God has put His love on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The day we said yes to Jesus, Jesus came into our heart with all of His love and His goodness and His glory and His mercy. So it's not an issue of can I love, it's an issue of will I love. And it's a commandment. God never commands us to do something He doesn't empower us to do. So we are commanded, a new commandment, to love one another. And then like it is in the book of Matthew, chapter number 22, verse number 37. Matthew 22, verse number 37, when Jesus was asked, Master, what's the greatest of all the commandments? There's so many commandments in the Bible. What is the greatest of all? Now, the average person, when they think of a commandment, think, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Jesus totally blows his mind here and says, you know what? Here's something, thou shalt. If you do this, you won't violate the don't do that. If you do this, it's going to work for you. He says, do this. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Love God and love other people. Love God and love others. Thank you for all your enthusiasm, everybody, all right? Love God and love others. Hey, it's easier to love God. Can you say amen? Right? Okay, I got the love God part, but love somebody else? Love that person at work? Love my cousin who did this? Love my brother or sister who did that? Love in my home, whatever? Yes, love God and love others. Look what it says here. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. There's three things there. My motives, my reason, and my logic. What I think is right and wrong. We always must understand the why behind the what. Why should I love others? Why should I love my neighbor as myself? Why should I forgive? Well, because I want to be like Jesus. Because he's filled my heart with his love. So my motives, this is why I do things. His love compels us, the Apostle Paul said. I choose to love because his love fills my heart. I choose to forgive because I've been forgiven of so much more. That's why I do it. I'm not trying to curry favor with God. I already have favor with God because I said yes to Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to get God to love me. He already loves me. He loved me before I ever loved him. We love him because he first loved us. My motives, my reason, how I see things. People oftentimes see things from a negative point of view. They see things from a victim's point of view. They see things from the world is against me, or they're all conspiring against me, or everything is so unfair. It's how I see things, my reason. I believe we have the favor of God. I believe as we sow, we're also going to reap. I believe God works all things together for good to those who love him, right? My reason, though, how I see things. And then my logic, the way I kind of process things, what I think is right, what I think is wrong, what I think is fair, what I think is just. He doesn't deserve to be loved. Well, neither did I. He doesn't deserve forgiveness. Well, neither did I. He doesn't deserve a second chance. Well, neither did I. But when love fills my heart, all that worldly logic goes out the door. All that sense of judgmentalism and vindictiveness and all that goes out the door. All of a sudden, because I've been shown mercy, I'm going to show mercy. Because I've been forgiven of so much, I'm going to forgive others. And what it does for me, the most miserable people I know are Christians who disobey the love commandment. The saddest people I know are, see, people who don't know Jesus, they don't know any better. That's one thing. But when you run across Christians, well, so-called Christians, and they just flat out disobey the commandment to forgive, that's why they're so miserable. That's why they're so vindictive. Anybody ever seen anybody like that? Sometimes there's whole churches full of people like that. It's so sad. But not here. We're going to love. We're going to restore. We're going to forgive. Hey, we're hard on sin, but we love people. We're not going to just say, oh, no big deal. No, no, no. We got to get free of that. We've got to get loose from that. But we're going to love you in the process and help you to grow. Can you say amen? So my motives, my reason, my logic, I'm motivated by God's love, not by selfishness and not by payback. Oh, I'll get you for that. You just watch. I'm going to prove you wrong. People have all kind of weird motivations, don't they? Why not just say, I'm going to please God. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to be an ambassador for Christ. I'm going to show his love to other people. I'm going to let them see God in me. Amen. I'm not trying to be motivated by payback. Yeah, I'm going to get you for that. Do unto others. Didn't you just say do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Not do unto others first. Right? Right? So, three things here. Number one, I forgive because I follow Jesus. Why do I forgive? Why is love greater than unforgiveness? Number one, I forgive because I follow Jesus. That's number one. Do you follow him? Do you love him? Will you obey his commandments? He says, hey, here's a commandment. Love each other as I've loved you. When he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Will you do it? Will you follow his commandment? Will you love others? Will you forgive as you've been forgiven? Will you just let the blood of Jesus cover over an offense? Will you release it and let it go? Remember this, you can write it down somewhere. Forgiveness is about letting go. It's not about saying it was okay. It wasn't okay. That's why I'm mad about it. It wasn't okay. That's why it hurts. I can sit here and tell you right now, there are things that I've let go that still bother me, but I've let them go. But it bothered me that it ever even happened. How about you? But I don't hate anybody. I don't have ill will towards somebody. I don't want something bad to happen to somebody. Do I wish it never happened? Of course. Don't you? I'm not, oh, please do it again. But forgiveness is about letting it go. And it's about release. God's forgiven us. He will never again remember our sins against us. So I forgive because I follow Jesus. Number two, I forgive because I am a believer. What is that saying? Forgiveness is about me, not about you. They don't deserve forgiveness. I agree, but we give it anyway. I didn't deserve forgiveness, but Jesus died for me anyway. You all right? You got home. Is this too much for this early in the morning? Because, guys, I'm like really wound up tight this morning. All right? I know what God wants to do for us. I know what he wants to do in our hearts. I know what he wants to do for some of us today. So I forgive, amen. I forgive because I follow Jesus. I forgive because I'm a believer. It's about God's love in me. See, God's love in me says to you, I love you. You can't do a thing about it. God's love in me says, I love you. Get used to it. God's love in me says, I love you because I love you. It's got nothing to do with you. We love him because he first loved us. It's called unconditional love. We can't earn it. Hey, here's the great thing about God's love. We can't do anything. Please hear what I'm going to say next. We cannot do anything to make God love us anymore. And here's the other side of that coin. We can't do anything to make God love us any less. It's not based on me. It's based on him. Are you listening to me now? So stop trying to get God to love you more. Just relax and say thank you. Just receive it. This is called grace. He loves us, period. Grace is God knowing all the dumb, stupid things I'm going to do and loving me anyway. Right? So I forgive because I follow Jesus. I forgive because I'm a believer. I forgive because I want to be like Jesus. By this, all will know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. Amen. This is the why behind the what. If I don't understand the why, I'll never do the what. I'll never do the loving if I don't understand why I love. I love because I follow him, because I believe in him, and I want to be like him. Amen. And this is the part the world will never understand. They just don't get it. That's okay. We love them anyway. They'll never understand. That's okay. We love people anyway. All right. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 9. Again, New Living Translation. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. This verse is so good. This verse is so true. This verse is so profound. It basically needs no explanation. All it needs is obedience, or else you're going to ignore it. It says, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. You ever known anybody who just harped on it and harped on it and harped on it and harped on it? Where this verse has amazing application, how many here are married? Raise your hand. How many are happily married? Keep your hand raised. That's how. Right? You're all right out there, huh? I'm married 38 years. 38, same to the, you know, 38, same marriage, 38 years. Not 5 here, 4 here, 8 there, you know, okay. 38 years she's put up with me. Can you imagine the kind of reward she's going to get in heaven? Let alone for all the things she's done to obey God. Just putting up with me. Oh, my gosh. I know you're all saying, dear me, I got to add Esther to my prayer list. She's been married to him 38 years. I understand. She should be at the top of your prayer list. And it is really easy after years go by to take each other for granted. It's really easy after, hey, it doesn't take that many years to go by, to be quite honest, to begin to take each other for granted. And the things that we used to dwell on, how much I love her, how wonderful. See, everybody dwells on something. It's just, what do you dwell on? Right? And oftentimes couples begin by overlooking all those faults. It's not as if they develop these faults later. They already had them when you said, I do. We just chose to overlook them. Boy, you're way too quiet out there, all right? Now, if you're married, say, ouch. And if you're not married and you want to get married, say, I'm paying attention to this. Because it's going to help you down the road. And if you're married, you can tell somebody who's not married, you better pay attention to this, all right? Everybody dwells on something. And when we're single, you know, when we're in courtship, and there ought to be a great courtship, and we're in love, and we're developing our relationship and so forth there, we're dwelling on all the things that we love about each other. I love her eyes. For me, for Esther, it was her beautiful smile. First thing I ever noticed about Esther, we met at Bible school. First thing I noticed about Esther was she was tardy. Well, that hadn't changed. That hadn't changed. Like I said, that fault was there then, that fault's there now, all right? Just this morning, my grandson, how many of you know grandchildren have lots of wisdom? He says, seems to me, Papa, ladies take a lot longer to get ready than us guys. There you have it, 7 years old, there you have it. There you have it, right there. The first thing I noticed about Esther, she came in, I was at my seat, I'm over first-year Bible students, all right, I'm sitting there, here's the bell is rung, and I hear a door close, look, here comes this beautiful girl coming in, rushing in real fast, she's late. Well, things haven't changed much in 38 years, all right? But it was her smile, you know, and just things I love about her, and her love for God, and her commitment to God, and so forth like that, and everything about her. But, you know, if we're not careful, we all of a sudden things kind of shift, and things that were on top, something gets kicked off by something that we don't like. And it's really an attitude issue that we're in control of, because I'm in control of my attitude. Proverbs 17:9 is so huge. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. And if we had chosen to do, and she's probably got a list, you know, you say, as long as my arm, long as both of her arms, and some probably your arms too, of faults in my life, we just choose to overlook those faults. We choose to not dwell upon those things, because this verse tells us that love will prosper if we let it go. Love will prosper if I forgive and overlook a fault. Love will prosper if I don't hold on and dwell upon those things. And I want love to prosper, not unforgiveness. I want love to flourish, amen? I want love to flourish, not bitterness. I want love to flourish, not unforgiveness. I want love to prosper, and nothing else but love in my relationship. And it tells me, but dwelling on it will separate close friends. And when people begin to dwell upon the wrong thing and hold on to unforgiveness and refuse to let go and hang on to this and hang on to that, then they begin to pile up, right? And then you forgot what it was that even drew you together to begin with. You forgot what it was you loved each other, what you loved about the other person to begin with. And it piles up. Separation is inevitable. It'll be a separation maybe of values, a separation of just time together. It can ultimately lead to a separation, and it can be really bitter and really painful. But there's a better way. Love prospers when we forgive. Love, well, I'd forgive if she did. That's not the, really. Oh, so really? You really think, well, if she'll forgive me, then I'll forgive her. Oh, that's Christ-like. It's really big of you. Can I just give you a big sucker, a big thumb to suck on? A diaper? A bonnet? A bib? You get my drift there, right? I'll tell you how I really feel about that sometime, okay? We're bigger than that. We're believers. I mean, what if God said, well, you know, if they'll forgive, then I'll forgive them. How's that going to ever work? No, we forgive because we're believers. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. But dwelling on it separates close friends. So, some things you can write down. What am I supposed to do? Thank you for asking that question. What am I supposed to do about that? Number one, forgive. Forgiveness is about letting go. We release it. So we'll tell each other, I forgive you, or I'll ask for forgiveness. We need to ask for forgiveness when we need to ask for forgiveness. Let me say that again. We need to ask for forgiveness when we need to ask for forgiveness. When do I need to ask for forgiveness? When I mess up. Amen? So I'll say, honey, I'm sorry I said that. I'm sorry. I asked you to forgive me. We verbalize this. We do it verbally. Well, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we verbally ask God for forgiveness. Amen. We verbally ask each other, honey, I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me. Now, whether or not she forgives me, my heart is clear. I've already asked for it. Now it's on her to forgive. And when somebody asks you for forgiveness, hint, 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 forgive. Yeah. Let it go. It might still hurt. You forgive and let it go. You might still be upset, but you forgive and you let it go. Amen. What am I supposed to do? Forgive. Number two, don't dwell on it. We get all messed up on this one right here. What does that mean? Dwell on something else. Don't think about it. Think about something else. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, think on these things. Whatever is lovely, whatever is true, whatever is virtuous, whatever is praiseworthy. He doesn't just say, don't think about this. He says, think about this. Your mind just can't be idle. It's going to think about something. So don't dwell on this. Dwell on this. Think about how much you love each other. Think about the mercy of God. Think about the goodness of God. Think about the Dodgers winning the World Series. Think about something. All right? I had to throw it in for free. All right? But don't dwell on the offense. Number three, let it go. Let it go. Just you have to release it. It's about release. That's why Jesus uses the cancellation of debt. That's why it says, forgive us our debtors as we forgive those who are indebted to us in the Lord's Prayer. It's about forgiveness. He uses releasing debt. Somebody owes you debt. They owe me an apology. Yeah, I know. Let it go. They owe me an answer. I know. Let it go. They owe them. It's about owing. We release it. Forgive. Let it go. So forgive. Don't dwell on it. Let it go. And then let love prosper. The promise is there in Proverbs 17, verse 9. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Forgive, don't dwell on it, let it go, let love prosper. Now, what if I ignore that? Because people do. You could be sitting here, I know Christians. I had a guy tell me here the other day, I know I haven't forgiven somebody. And I'm waiting for them to say, I'm going to. They never did. I go, I know I haven't forgiven them. I know I haven't. So, here's what to expect, all right? What if I ignore what God says to do? Now, fair warning. This is what will happen. Does it go without saying bad things happen when we ignore God? Does that go without saying? Proverbs 19, verse 3. People ruin their lives by their decisions, and their hearts are raging against the Lord. And then they blame God. So people make decisions, they mess up their lives, but then they get mad at God. Proverbs 19, verse 3. Threw it in for free. You can look it up later. People decide this, they do this, they mess their lives up, and then they get mad at God? Just so you know, okay? So, what if I ignore what God says to do? Number one, I will experience loss. Count on it. You're going to lose something. We see in Proverbs 17, verse 9, you're going to lose relationship. It says, love prospers when a fault's forgiven, but dwelling on it separates. You're going to lose something. You're going to lose somebody. Love separates. Amen. Close friends. Proverbs 17, verse 9. So I will experience some kind of loss. Now, you might lose a relationship. You might lose, you will lose the favor and blessing of God. You may lose the provision of, you're going to lose something. You may lose your way. Loss is going to happen, just so we understand what we're talking about. All right? What if I choose to ignore what God says to do? I will experience loss. Number two, I will lose this. I know this for sure. I will lose intimacy with God. Nobody has intimacy with God and hangs on to bitterness. It's impossible. Because if you have intimacy with God and you don't forgive someone, the first thing God brings up is you got to forgive this so we can maintain this intimacy. It's lost. Are you with me now? When I first became a believer, I had some serious issues I needed to forgive, serious ones. I didn't grow up in a, quote, Christian home in the sense of like how my sons grew up. I had some issues I needed to forgive. And it seemed like right, and I'm trying to get close to God. I want to worship God. I want to know God. And it seemed like right at the beginning, it'd be right there in front of me. What are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? Like it was right there. What are you going to do about this? I forgave and let it go. We would not be here today if I hadn't done that then. Never would have happened. I'd still be bitter and all messed up. Amen. So I'll experience loss. I'll lose intimacy with God. Number three, I will lose relationships with people. If I don't forgive them, how am I going to be close to them? If I don't forgive them, I'm going to lose a relationship. That can be in my family. It can be in my marriage. It can be among friends. It can be, relationships, right? There's going to be some kind of loss if I choose to ignore God's commandment to love and to forgive. Because love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. And then number four, I should have put here, I will lose spiritual health. I put it like this. Number four, I will poison myself. Because unforgiveness is poison. Again, the most miserable people I know are believers who've never settled the forgiveness issue. Maybe you know somebody like that. Maybe you're sitting here right now, and the more I talk, the madder you get. Wonderful. Now let's do something about it. God's bringing you to a point of decision. That's what God does. He says, okay, enough. Let's decide. Enough. Let's choose. Enough. Do something. So if you're sitting here steaming, and thank God there's no bricks there by you can throw at me, all right? That's great. Because God's bringing you to a point of, what are you going to do about this now? It's wonderful, all right? So I will poison myself. What does this kind of love look like? Sometimes in families, we need to do this. Amen? We're going to look over here in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 5. And what's happening here is there was a guy that was causing trouble in the church family in Corinth. In fact, in the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul says, you can't put up with this. You've got to do something about this. And so they did. They confronted him. In fact, they put him out. But then the guy repented and everything. And Paul in the second letter says, okay, enough. Now it's time to forgive and it's time to restore. Let's look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 5. He says, I'm not overstating it. When I say that the man who caused all the trouble, he hurt all of you more than he hurt me. Isn't it true that one person can hurt an entire family? Sometimes one person can cause pain in an entire family, right? And Paul's saying, hey, he was in your family. He's talking here about a church family, but families are families. And he says, hey, I'm not exaggerating here. He hurt me, but he hurt you a lot more. He hurt you way more than he hurt me. Verse 6, most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, however, it is time to forgive him, and it's time to comfort him. Amen. Said, all right, because we know from the first letter he repented and everything. He says, okay, now it's time to forgive him. Now it's time to comfort him. Has somebody hurt your family? Has somebody in your family hurt your family? What are we going to do about that? Paul says, okay, however, now it's time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement. So I urge you now to reaffirm your love for him. Now, this guy had caused trouble in the church family. And sometimes families, we live together. We got holidays coming. We're just weeks away. And for some families, holidays are anything but celebrations. For some families, all holidays are is a reopening of old wounds, right? Isn't it sad? He says, hey, it's time to forgive. It's time to comfort him. It's time to reaffirm your love for him. And that's what we can do. We can forgive, we can comfort, and we can reaffirm our love. Amen? That is what forgiveness looks like. There's just so much. I told Esther this morning, I'm trying to cut stuff out of this message. There's just so much content. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1 through 3. Let's see another example of this. We saw there, forgive, comfort, and reaffirm love. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Now, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer, and the literal word there is brother, is overtaken or overcome by some sin, you who are godly, you who are spiritual, should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. Why don't believers do this? Instead, they go online and blow people up. And the worst thing about the internet, and there's a lot of messed up things, a lot of good things, but the worst thing is everybody feels they have a right to judge. And they go on, they just blow people up. When all this time the Bible says, listen, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. You know why some Christians don't do that? Because they're not godly. It says you who are godly, they aren't. So they go online, they blow people up. It's so sad. When all the time the scripture says, listen, we need one another. We need everyone to finish our course. We need each other. Verse 2, share each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. We read the law of Christ beginning this morning. Love one another as I've loved you. It's a law. It's a commandment. And if you'll share each other's burdens, we'll obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. Right? This is called restoration. And what God's after is restoration, not judgment. Restoration, not vindictiveness. Restoration, not putting somebody down. He says, bear each other's burdens. A burden is something heavy someone's carrying. And I know people who are burdened by guilt. They're burdened by regret. They're burdened by dumb decisions. And they're full of if only, if only, if only, if only I'd done that, if only they had done that. They're burdened by it. They need restoration. People are burdened by guilt. Why did I do this? And why didn't I do that? They're burdened by hurt. They're burdened by pain. Why did they do this? Why didn't they do this? They're burdened by it. And God says not to judge them. God says to restore them. God says to go over there and grab hold and bear it with them. We can't do that from a distance. You know what? We do this better in rows. I mean, in circles than we do in rows. That's why we need life groups. This happens in life groups right here. This happens way better in circles than it ever could in rows. You see, restoration begins with love. Restoration begins with permission. I have to allow you close to me for restoration to happen. If I keep you at arm's distance, everybody's weird. Yeah, join the club. You are too. Everybody's weird. All right? That was kind of funny. Huh? If I keep everybody at arm's distance, the good news, they can't hurt me. It's what I think anyway. But the bad news, they can't help me. So restoration begins with permission. Restoration, we see here, begins with humility. Restoration is Christ-like. And restoration happens in circles way better than it does in rows. Amen. Why not go help somebody instead of adding to their burden? Someone can share my burden only when I allow them to get close to me. We read the scripture. We're going to pray right now. Proverbs 17, verse 9, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. Love is greater than unforgiveness. Remember, I've been forgiven. Remember that. I've been forgiven. If you don't remember that, you're not very likely to forgive somebody else. Remember to forgive and let it go. Remember, don't dwell on it. And let love prosper. Let love prosper. Let's bow our heads and let's pray right now, why don't we? Lord, we've been forgiven of so much. Liberty's here, right now, right here, right now. Who hasn't been hurt, Lord? Every one of us. Someone's wronged us, someone's offended us, someone's hurt us. Some of these hurts, they run really, really deep. And I mean, they are really, really painful. And yet your love covers it all. Love covers over an offense. Your love heals it all. Your love washes it all away if we'll just let you, if we'll simply obey you. And if we'll forgive, and if we'll let it go. So right now, Heavenly Father, right now, we remember we've been forgiven of so much. We've been forgiven of so much more. The blood of Jesus has been shed. For no sin of His own, He died upon the cross for us. He died to forgive us. I've been forgiven of so much more. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I make the decision to release it, to forgive, to let it go. Whatever it is right now, guys, let's do this. I make the decision to release it, let it go. It's not based on feeling like it. It's based on doing it. It's a decision. I release it. I let it go. And Lord, now, and this is the big part, I make the decision to no longer dwell on it, to go over it and go over it and to re-feel it and to relive it. That's what resentment is. We feel it. We live it. We just keep going over it. Keep going over it. We let that go. We put something in. We think about your love. We think about your goodness. We think about your mercy. We think about where we're going. We think about the days ahead of us. We think about your favor. We think about being led by your Spirit. We think about all the ways we're going to grow in Christ. We think about your promises. We have all kinds of other things to fill our thoughts. think on these things. So we no longer dwell on that and go over it and go over it. And we let love prosper and grow and be fruitful in our lives. And for this we thank you and we praise you in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Now let's just do that right now. Let's settle that in our hearts right now. And later on, if the devil tries to challenge you, you didn't forgive that. You say, oh, I let that go. You didn't release that. Oh, yes, I did. I distinctly remember forgetting about that. I let that go. I let that go. As I've been forgiven, so I forgive. For this, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Now, let's just all make a confession of faith right now in Jesus. Let's say it like this. Lord Jesus, you are my Lord and you are my Savior. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again from the dead. You are Lord of my life. Thank you for reminding me of your promises, of your love, and of your goodness. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Guys, let's go live this. Some of you this morning, listen, that freedom, just stay free. Don't pick it up again. That same person might come around just as nasty as he was last time. Maybe nastier. Just let it go. I knew you were coming. I know what to do about it this time. That's why the Lord told Peter, not seven times, 70 times seven, forgive somebody. For some people, forgiveness is an ongoing way of life. Amen? And so we want to live it like that. Amen. Hey, thank you for coming this morning. Next Sunday, we're talking about love is greater than insecurity and fear. If you know somebody who deals with some of these issues, if you do, you want to be here next Sunday because God's love is greater. Amen. Let's go live this. God bless you all. Thanks for coming today. My son, Isaac Almaguer, our executive pastor. Pastor Isaac is going to come right now, make some announcements, receive this morning's offering. All right. God bless you all.